It doesn't matter how much I've shouted, how many programs I've been a part of. If I am not changing, I have not gotten to know God.
Dr. Tony Evans says true Christianity starts on the inside and works its way outward.
What God is after, what God is interested in, is transforming us by His presence.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Salvation can't be earned through good behavior, but that doesn't mean the two concepts aren't related. Let's join Dr. Evans in Exodus chapter 34 as he explores the connection.
Any doctor will tell you that a loss consistently of appetite is a major indicator that something deeper is wrong. It is natural to be hungry, to get hungry, and to want to be satisfied with food. It is natural for a Christian to want to know God. It is natural for a Christian to be hungry for God. So when a Christian has lost their appetite and is not pursuing being satisfied with God, it is an indication something else is wrong. Our lack of hunger for God is either because we become spiritually sick inside. Usually that means that sin has begun to dominate some aspect of our lives, eroding the natural hunger for God. Or we've become satisfied with junk religion. We've been satisfied with a Christian donut here and a religious Big Mac over there. And to get the real thing, we've lost interest in. How do you know when you are getting to know God? How do you know when this thing is catching? How do you know when this thing is clicking? How do you know that you are indeed knowing God or coming into the knowledge of God? The proof that you are getting to know God is you are changing. If I am the same, it doesn't matter how much I've shouted, how many services I've gone to, how many programs I've been a part of, how many ministries I serve in, how much money I have given, all of those have their place. If I am not changing, I have not gotten to know God. Moses is up on the mountain with God in chapter 34. Last few times, we've been dealing with chapter 33. In chapter 34, he's on the mountain with God. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 27, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down from the mountain with the two tablets and the testimony in Moses' hand. As he was coming down from the mountain, he did not know that the skin of his face shone because he was speaking with him. Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights, had been in God's presence. And here's what happened. God rubbed off on him. Moses went up. He had asked God in chapter 33, show me your glory. Display yourself to me. And as he basked in God's presence, God rubbed off on him and he began to glow. So he's got an extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. He is receiving God's word. He is communicating with God, and God is rubbing off on him. What's interesting about this is other folks saw it before he knew it was happening. Other folks saw it before Moses even knew it was happening. Verse 30, when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers in the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, the sons came near, and he commanded them to do whatever God had said. And after Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. They were afraid. They were saying, whoa, Mo. What has happened to you? You know, you look at a child and you'll see him growing up. You say, you sure are getting big. That's because you see it before they do. They just live in. But you see them changing. God had rubbed off on him. God had made his, that time together, that uninterrupted, expanded time in his word, in communication with God, so that now God was rubbing off on him. And Israel noticed he had been with God. We are not changing. And the reason we are not changing is either because there is sickness within, or junk food has taken away the appetite. To put it in everyday language, we're not hungry for God. Now, we're hungry for God's blessing. Everybody want to be blessed. We may be hungry for a choir, a sermon, or a program. And it says, and God made an covenant with him. An agreement, a partnership. Covenants were relational agreements. God made an agreement with him, an attachment with him, and gave him the Ten Commandments. The rules to live by. And he went and spoke it to the people with a glow on his face. Moses is up on the mountain with God. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 27, write down these words, for in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came about when Moses was coming down from the mountain with the two tablets and the testimony in Moses' hand. As he was coming down from the mountain, he did not know that the skin of his face shone because he was speaking with him. Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights, had been in God's presence. And here's what happened. God rubbed off on him. God rubbed off on him. See, the Bible describes God in one summary word, light. He exists, the scripture says, in unapproachable light. That's why there will be no night in heaven, because the Bible says God will be the light. God exists in light. Moses went up. He had asked God in chapter 33, show me your glory. Display yourself to me. And as he basked in God's presence, God rubbed off on him. And he began to glow. Like somebody spending time in a nuclear reactor. He began to glow. Now, let's notice what led to the glow. It says he had been spending time without food or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. Or to put it in everyday term, he had extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. He had extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. Moses was not satisfied with a visitation. He wanted a habitation. Most of us pay God visits, quick visits at that. We go to give him the pleasantries. We go to let him know we remember where he lives. We drop in on him. Moses spent expanded, extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. Notice, receiving God's word, the Ten Commandments. So he was in God's presence, receiving God's word. And then it says he was speaking with him. So he's got it extended, uninterrupted time in God's presence. He is receiving God's word. He is communicating with God, and God is rubbing off on him. What's interesting about this is other folks saw it before he knew it was happening. God had rubbed off on him. God had made his that time together, that uninterrupted, expanded time in his word, in communication with God, so that now God was rubbing off on him, and Israel noticed he had been with God. Okay, we've all been to a wedding, and we've all seen the bride come in. Glorious as she is, the veil, there is a covering. It's not done as much today as in older days, but still, there is a covering. You know there's glory, but the glory is somewhat veiled. It's hidden. You can't see how really beautiful she is. You can see the beauty of her dress, the exquisite walk down the aisle. But the face is fuzzy. It can't be seen. It's veiled. He says Moses had to veil God's glory because it was diminishing. But he says in Christ, the veil is lifted. And you get to see glory like you've never dreamt. So this raises the question. This is the question. I know this is your question. How? How do I get to know God so that I know that I know him because he's rubbing off on me? Two verses. They all come down to these two verses. Verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom, victory. Let me break this down. Are you with me now? Okay, here we go. First three words of verse 18. But we all. Now let me pause there. But we all. Translation, whatever I'm getting ready to say next, you are not an exception to. But we all. See, back in Moses' day, you don't read about anybody else's face shining but Moses. You don't read about anybody else going up to the mountain but Moses. You don't read about anybody else having to veil their face but Moses. It wasn't but we all. It was but Moses. He was the only one. Everybody else got to look and see what God was doing with Mo. Okay? But in the new covenant, because we're not like Moses, he says, but we all. In other words, you can get what Moses had. It's not limited to Moses. It's not limited to superhuman beings. It's not limited to this special Christian. It's not limited to a certain clientele. It's not limited to a certain status symbol. It's not limited to a certain economic order. He said, but we all. That means if you're saved, you're not an exception. You can know God as good as or better than the most spiritual person you know. But we all. You can't go around saying, I wish I was like brother so-and-so and I wish I was like sister so-and-so because they seem so close to God. But we all. This is equally available to all. He says, but we all, here it is, with unveiled face. But we all, without anything hidden or camouflage. Do you remember what we preached about last time? It says, and God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaking to a friend. In other words, there was no camouflage or covering. There will be thousands of people who come to church in camouflage. See, our suits can camouflage us. Your dresses, I was going to say our dresses, your dresses can camouflage. Your smiles can camouflage you. Your hairdo can camouflage you, because the impression we give when we come into the church, by and large, is I'm okay. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, brother. Isn't God good? That's camouflage. Because in the real world, I'm in pain in church, and I'm miserable today, and me and my family are not getting along, and I'm not going to make it. And if the truth would be told, I'd break out crying right now. But I'm in church, and I got to camouflage all that. Well, that may help you relate to people. It will not help you relate to God. He says, if you want to be changed so that you really know God and he's rubbed off on you, you must come to him with unveiled face. No camouflage. You can't come praying like everything is all right when it's not all right. You can't come talking to me like you okay when both me and you know you're not okay. You can't come to me with praise words and nice sounding serendipities when that's really not what's on your heart. You can't come to me with some general statement when you know there's specific issues we need to deal with. If I'm gonna rub off on you, you got to come clean with me. You've got to come with unveiled face. God is not looking for a cute visit from you. He's not asking you to put on a suit and a shirt and a tie and get all dressed up when you have your extended private time with him, because he know that ain't real. That's showing off. That's going down the red carpet like you going to some Academy Awards show. He wants you to come with an unveiled face. If you want me to rub off on you, you got to come clean with me. You got to go raw with me. You got to be exposed to me. You got to come with unveiled face. Nothing hidden, no shadows, no camouflaging. You can fool the people with that, but I know you got a veil on. You got to come raw with me. You come to me with unveiled face. He says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. He says, you come to me with unveiled face, total exposure. And when you come to me, you come to a mirror. He refers to the word of God. Remember, Moses had the word of God. He says, you come to me as to a mirror.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about what it means to come to that heavenly mirror when he continues our message in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to experience God's deliverance? How about gain his wisdom? Maybe you want to have a greater impact for his kingdom. Or perhaps you just long to know who you really are in God's eyes. These are just some of the blessings that come from pursuing God and knowing him intimately. And you can discover how to do that with Dr. Tony Evans' newest book, Knowing God, along with DVD Bible study and study guide. Get yours today at tonyevans.org.
Knowing God is much more than just possessing head knowledge or having warm and fuzzy feelings about him. It can be a true relationship that's rewarding, worthwhile, and fills your life with purpose and satisfaction that can't be found anywhere else. And we want to provide resources that can help you discover that deep, life-changing connection. When you support Tony's ministry with a generous contribution, we'll say thanks by sending his just-released book, The Power of Knowing God, along with the companion study guide and resource DVD that'll help these powerful principles take root in your life. Along with it, we'll send you all 8 full-length messages in our current series, Knowing God, on CD and digital download. This limited-time offer won't be around for long, so don't miss out. Visit tonyevans.org today to make your contribution and request. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where one of our friendly resource team members is standing by to assist you. I'll have all of that contact information for you once again after part 2 of today's message. Here's Tony.
The job of a mirror is to expose. Okay? We don't want exposure. Then we don't want the truth. Suppose the mirror lied to you and told you when you first got up in the morning, you really do look good. Suppose the mirror lied. Your hair really is in place. There's nothing coming out of your eyes and down your lip. You just slept like a queen or king and woke up like a queen or king, and you go outside thinking you are something you are not. He says, with an unveiled face. Because you see, when you have a veil on and you go before a mirror, you keep the mirror from telling you the truth. See, if you got a covering over your face and you're standing in front of a mirror, the mirror can't get through to you because you're hidden. So you must come with total exposure, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. In other words, seeing who I am in light of who he is. Seeing what I want in light of what he wants. Seeing the direction I'm headed in light of the direction he's headed. And when I lift the veil and go raw with God, as before a mirror, letting him show me as he sees me, he says in verse 18, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image. Translation, God's gonna rub off on you. Transform means to be changed. He says, what will happen is God will change you into the image of the Lord. Because you're beholding the Lord in the mirror. When you go to God exposed, raw, he is able to tell you who you are based on what he sees, not based on what you see, your friends see, what everybody else sees. No, based on what he sees, and you receive what he says based on the mirror of his word that shines on you. Once you receive that, you are being transformed into the same image, or you are being made like him. Watch this. From glory to glory. Oh, I love the phrase. Moses went from glory to less glory. See, he left God, went to people, lost his shine. He says, you and I are not like Moses. Because Moses went from glory to less glory, we go from glory to more glory. In other words, it's an ever incline. It's an ever increasing glory. God is manifesting himself more. Why? Because we are living in his presence. Why? Because we don't have to go to a mountain. See, for Moses to get his shine back, for God to rub off on him, he had to climb back up that mountain, go through it again, come back down and lose it, go back up and climb it, come back down and lose it, go back up and climb it, come back down and lose it. But that's a lot of how many of us are living our lives. Go to church and give it, leave church and lose it. Go to church and get it, leave church and lose it. Go to church and get it, leave church and lose it. So we like Moses, but that's the old way. That's the old covenant. That's not how God's doing that now. He's saying you are going from glory to glory. How are you getting there? Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. If you are saved, the Holy Spirit is living within you. So guess what? You carry the glory with you. You see, whatever you get in church is there. That's just a launch. You're supposed to carry the glory with you. In fact, if you're saved, you have the glory inside of you. Moses and them, they didn't have the glory inside of them. Listen, almost every woman on the sound of my voice right now has a compact inside your purse. Now, no man better not have a compact inside his pocket, but every woman, or virtually every woman, has a compact inside of her purse. You know why a woman carries a compact? So that she doesn't lose her glory. So that as she moves throughout the day, if the lipstick gets a little ruffled, she can put back on her glory. And if the makeup gets a little rubbed wrong, she can wipe back on her glory. So that she can go to the bathroom and look at her hair and make sure through the compact mirror, using this mirror to look at that mirror to check out the back of her hair, she carries her glory with her. Why? So that she stays fresh. She stays looking good. She stays looking glorious. God says in the new covenant, you don't have to take a trip. You just have to carry your glory with you. Just as the Lord, the Spirit. And he says, and we are being transformed. Now, in closing, this is so powerful, because when you talk to most people, they will tell you, I'm trying to change. The addict of whatever the addiction is, who seriously doesn't want the addiction, and they're trying to change. But then when you ask them, how much time are you spending in his presence? There's no answer. Or they'll tell you about going to church or going to a program, but they're not telling you about his presence. How much time are you naked before him? Because he says, when you come with unveiled face as a mirror before the Lord, you are changing. In other words, the Lord is bringing about the change. You're not trying to make yourself change. So the question is, are you hungry for God today? If you are, he's ready to meet with you anytime you're ready to meet with him.
The process of completely satisfying your spiritual hunger begins when you commit to a real relationship with Jesus. And that can start right now. Here's Dr. Evans to explain.
If you're not absolutely sure that you have received salvation, that you're on your way to heaven, then let's get that straight right now. God offers you salvation as a free gift because of the sacrifice of his Son. And if you will come to Jesus Christ, acknowledging your need for a Savior because you recognize you're a sinner, recognizing you can't save yourself, and appealing to Jesus to apply his death into your life, he will come in, forgive your sins, and give you eternal life right now. Simply say to the Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I'm believing in you alone to be my Savior. So I now accept your offer to give me eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. And then thank him for the free salvation he just gave you.
To learn more about what it means to be a real Christian, visit TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Jesus. Tony will walk you through everything you need to know. And while you're there, don't forget to request that powerful package of resources I told you about earlier. It includes all 8 messages from Tony's current series, Knowing God, as well as his just-released book, The Power of Knowing God. And we'll even include the interactive study guide and resource DVD containing custom material that Dr. Evans recorded specifically for this study. They're all yours when you make a contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. So be sure to drop by TonyEvans.org right away to make the arrangements before this limited-time offer runs out. That's TonyEvans.org. Or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by around the clock to help you. A lot of people attend revivals looking for more energy or enthusiasm. But next week, Dr. Evans tells us what we really need from revival, to literally be brought back to life. Be sure to join us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.